Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sofa King Podcast, your one-stop shop for an in-depth discussion of current events, popular culture, and shit that we, your hosts, care about. What shit do we care about in today's episode? Two things, actually. In the first half of the show, we plan to give you facts and our own takes on the record drought in California. In the second half, we'll discuss biohacking and ways that people are enhancing their bodies and capabilities through DIY cybernetics. So for now, Brad, play that funky intro.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
So what's going on, Dave? What have you been up to?
I have been wondering and worrying about water.
It's funny you say that because I'm drinking some shitty-ass Arrowhead sparkling black cherry, tastes like balls water.
You're sugar spoiled.
Apparently, the tastes like balls water is Brent's favorite water.
Great, thanks. That's awesome that it started out that way. My mom will be proud of this episode.
I'm always happy to make your mom happy.
Now she's extra happy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I can tell you why that tastes so bad.
Why is that?
It's because Arrowhead is owned by Nestle, and Nestle is the second most evil entity on the face of the planet.
Just pumping water through charcoal filters and selling it like gold.
Who's the first most evil?
Monsanto.
It's true.
All right. So anyway, so in a year is what I hear. I mean, I'm just a simpleton. I sit around. I don't even watch TV. But in a year.
I think that's the one thing that saves you from being a simpleton.
Oh, maybe. But I know in a year I'm going to be dead. Because, I mean, there will be no water to drink.
And is that to this date?
Starting now.
Okay. Countdown. Fucking, I'm dead in a year, people. Like no water. I'm going to look like Mr. Burns sitting in a chair, just shriveled up like a prune and dying.
Finally lose that weight, though.
Finally. So in a year, I'll be down to my goal. 38 pounds, and I'm 6'1", big boned. I'm not fat, fucker.
So we've got historic drought. It's been going on for several years, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse. We are Californians. We're recording in California, so we're sort of in the heart of all this. And recently, our beloved governor... Can I say beloved governor?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, that's right. Recently, the person who replaced our beloved governor, I think we should permanently refer to Schwarzenegger as our beloved governor.
That sounds good to me.
I think that's awesome.
I hate that motherfucker.
Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Don't do
as a governor or as an actor?
Well, don't let me get into his acting because it's horrible, for one.
He has like three lines.
What movies has he even been in?
Really?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think of anything. I think he was most famous for Twins, Kindergarten Cop, and Jingle All the Way. Those were his three big ones.
Never seen him. I swear to God.
Change the subject before Brad does impressions.
What do you mean?
So our current governor, Jerry Brown, passed very strange and vague legislature that says that everyone has to reduce their water consumption by 25% or we're going to be fined $500 a day.
Okay.
So
just on the honor system.
Just on the honor system, who's going to fine us and what legal precedent they have, I'm not really certain of. And the interesting thing is, and I've read a lot of different articles this week, and they range, but the majority of them seem to indicate that 80% of California's water is being used by agriculture, but agriculture isn't being hit with a 25% water reduction that everybody else is. The population's being hit by a 25% water reduction, and we make up 10% of California's water use.
So it's 25% of 10%, which is really nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's something, but it's not hardly anything.
And then nothing is really being levied towards agriculture, and I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing. It accounts from one of the studies I read said that California agriculture uses 80% of the state's water and accounts for 2% of its gross domestic product.
I don't even understand
math.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
I'm boggled right now.
I always hear people say like, "Oh, well, they, you know, agriculture is huge. Like, it's the reason the state exists, so they should get all the water. But if they only make 2% of the money that the state is making, then why the hell do they get access to 80% of the water with no cuts?"
Exactly.
It has something to do with miners' rights. It's all based off of that, like, stating a claim. Like, I don't remember what, I mean, whenever the gold rush was happening. And so they still base all the water rights off of those old miner rights. So that's why Southern California has rights over Northern California, and they pump all their water from the Delta all the way down to Los Angeles. And there's some crazy stat for that too. Like, LA uses, like, I don't quote me on that obviously, but like 70% of California's water goes to those major areas in Southern California.
Well, the EPA website, if you go to the EPA and look at under California, it shows that, you know, what it says is that California faces some of the most challenging water issues in the country. The state is also a national leader in water efficiency and water conservation. So if we're already a leader in water efficiency and water conservation, what the hell are we doing? Like, I mean, Governor Jerry Brown is obviously an idiot, or whoever's behind him that's doing it, because it makes no sense. Like I said, I'm a simpleton. I have no idea, you know, how we're gonna be alive in a year, because if we're draining the aquifers and we're using all the water and we're pumping, you know, there's no water coming in because we've had no rain, which we live in a desert, you know, so it's an obvious thing. But I mean, how come there's no emergency plan in place? You think if, hey, we're gonna build these cities in a desert, let's have an emergency situation just in case we get no water and we're going to kill 38 million people.
And I think, I mean, the majority of California, the majority of habitable California is either in the Central Valley, which is a desert where we grow all of the food, or it's along the coastline, which A, doesn't really have a bunch of natural water sources, but B, is right next to, what's that thing called? The ocean. Yes, yeah. Which has a little bit of water in it. And I know it's got the water with the salt variety, but I know there are a lot of nations that are desalinating, and I know people are saying it's really expensive to desalinate water, but it's also really expensive to let the nation's agriculture die. I mean, that's what I keep wondering, is all this talk of the nation, you know, I mean, we are the number one national producer of all agriculture, the San Joaquin Valley, and we have no water. And everyone just kind of looks at California and says, oh, California, you're so dry. And then nothing happens. And the entire nation is going to suffer from this, but no federal relief is coming, no assistance. I mean, we can build an oil pipeline that drags oil from Alaska to the fucking Gulf Coast, and we can't get a pipeline that drains fucking rainwater from Maine to California. I mean,
yeah, I mean, even if they start now is the problem. Like, they didn't have their shit together, so it's... If you start now, it's years of construction. And I read on desalination, I guess the problem is not just the energy cost, and it's basically the waste that's created, because the salt that comes out of the water creates brine, and you just have like piles and piles of...
Yeah, but the oil industry can use brine. They use brine water to kill wells. There's all kinds of uses for brine. You could also use the salt for maybe on the East Coast where the salt's expensive, I've heard. So, I mean, there's
lots of uses
for it.
It's just putting infrastructure in place. I'm sure there's uses for it. It's just facilitating all that stuff, and no one had a plan. I mean, it's like it just sneaks up on you. You don't realize it, and everybody keeps brushing their teeth and watering the grass every day, spraying the street down like my neighbor.
I mean, my grass is green as shit right now. Fucking awesome.
Mine's a hue of yellowish green out of guilt only, and even though I'm aware and trying to be conscious, like, I literally sneak out there every 3 days and hit 2 minutes on station six, you know, like, and watch it happen and just try to keep it at bay. And it's like, why though? I mean, no one wants their lawn to look shitty, but I'm literally having trouble breaking a 37-year habit of turning the water off while brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
It's like the soothing sound of the water trickling down is some weird unbreakable thing that I'm even having trouble with.
I have to go pee.
And I'm conscious of it, you know, and I want to do the right thing.
I want to save water too. I mean, I don't want to be dead, you know, and be in a zombie apocalypse. But I think, like, one of the other things is, do you think this is some sort of government ploy? I mean, if we have no, well, actually they're going to be keeping the farming, but normal people won't have water.
Correct.
So are they going to try and run people out of California? Like, I mean, that's the only thing that it's going to do. People are going to start to move. Some people are going to fucking, I mean, they're looking at places like Oregon. Who the fuck wants to move there?
I do.
Yo.
Fucking hippies.
I mean, yeah, maybe it's a control thing. I mean, there's, I know these are crazy conspiracy theorists, but there's, I mean, everything from, and I'm sure we'll get some hate and craziness from this, but like chemtrail, weather modification, you know, changing weather patterns to create that type of environment. I saw some stuff on YouTube, really credible source.
I believe everything on YouTube.
The internet, yeah, about weather modification. And they showed some like thermal mapping of the globe. And, you know, it could be some guy with Photoshop making a blue United States. But the color representation based off temperature, we were a hue of blue while the rest of the world was red, oranges, and yellows. And I understand that that is a YouTube video. But if it's true and if we can have multiple sources and find out that that is, why, how could the United States in a perfect shape, you know, and drifting off to Canada and whatnot, be a lower temperature than the rest of the world at the same, you know, longitude and or latitude, unless something weird's going on, you know?
Well, I mean, like, you would think lower temperatures means there's going to be snow if there's rain, and I know the East Coast is like, swamped with water right now.
Yeah.
That's what happens during
and we're sitting over here and nothing, you know, we're bottle the water, send it over here, do something, I don't know. Like you said, the pipeline, it just makes sense to me that they spend billions of dollars on stupid stuff, like educating our children. And they don't. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, they waste billions of dollars. Welfare. I mean, you know, cut it back, make people work, move around, do something, and create a system that can sustain, you know, as many people as we have. You know, they keep letting people into California. They keep letting people, you know, get, you know, have families and have these things here in the state, and yet we've done nothing to be able to sustain life here.
And here's okay. One of the things I read said that the governor's plan is you're speaking of spending billions of dollars on the government's end. Mm-hmm. Part of the governor's plan to end our drought is a $1.1 billion plan that's going to help alleviate drought in California, 20 million of which is set aside for agriculture conservation. So we have a $1.1 billion thing going out to help Californians, and 20 million of it is going to ag.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that is actually like farm aid. So I would assume that's some type
gonna
of
help farming.
Subsidized.
They're
like
gonna
even
help.
Just
they're giving them more. They're trying to get more water.
No, but what I'm saying is, if our issue is our ag, I mean, and they do need water. I'm not saying that they don't need that water.
No, yeah,
we
I
have
agree.
To grow food, and that's all part of it. But A, the troubling things are the governor isn't making ag cut back on water. So again, the citizen has to shoulder the brunt of corporate fuck-ups and government cronyism.
Yeah.
We're the ones who suddenly have to not brush our teeth and have sweaty nut sacks because I take a shower every other day. Like, this is bullshit.
Every other day.
But then, yeah, everybody.
You're on your own on that.
You're
one.
Doing that right. That's your concert. You've been doing
that's
that
my
since high school.
That's my concert. Well, yeah.
Dave's a big man. That's saving a lot of water,
that's a
actually,
lot of water. But it's like, you know, I know, you know, I keep seeing things on Facebook of like someone will just randomly say, hey, you know what I started to do? And I saw this morning. One of them said, you know, now when I take a shower, I keep two white buckets in my shower. And then at the end of the shower, I've got that water and then I can water my plants with it. And I'm like, that's a really great idea. That's really cool. But meanwhile,
Ball sweat tomatoes.
Yeah, I've got ball sweat tomatoes. But meanwhile, ag is doing whatever they want. They're probably wasting water, flushing water. They probably have really inefficient systems that aren't being updated. So if we're getting $1.1 billion in government aid that are supposed to be helping to fix the problem, shouldn't a significant amount of that money be going to make agriculture more effective?
Yeah, like
to make
500
smarter,
million,
yeah,
more
exactly,
or less, half or so.
$20 million out of a billion?
What I read, I mean, ag has definitely got cut back on water. They have fallow fields all over the place, you know what I mean? It's like half Dust Bowl. But I think what some of that money was in regards to like farm aid is probably like payouts and subsidies to like,
yeah, because they're losing,
yeah,
supposedly they're
the
losing
profit.
Crops, yeah, they're losing crops, they're losing stuff, like they're not able to have as many cows as they did before, you know, and these things like that. And that's where probably it is subsidizing. Same thing with oil's down right now. So these companies are subsidized. So even though oil is $40, $50 a barrel, they're still getting $70, $75, whatever they're in at the rate, you know, kind of like an interest rate, you know, and that's what they're getting. So where's this money coming from, though? We're in debt. Where's the $1.1 billion coming from? It's going to come out of taxpayers' money, out of my check.
Yes.
If at the end of the year, they're already taking 30 or 75% from me.
My question isn't where is it coming from? I know where it's coming from. It's coming out of my fucking check. My question is where is it being spent? If $20 million is all that's being spent to help ag, and that seems to be one of the key concerns. My suspicion is the $1 billion is going to be to create a new government agency that can give us all $500 tickets and to create a wonderful public service announcement series that every time I turn on the television, it tells me to pee in a bucket and pour it on my tomatoes and to let my lawn die. I mean, I have a feeling this money is going to be dumped into giant government pits next to the Ark of the Covenant where no good use is
ever going to come. It's going to be ridiculous. Why not use that money to pay us to put rock in our lawn, you know, so we don't have to water, you know.
That would actually be really good.
I mean, look at Las Vegas and you know, Phoenix. You know, you go to Phoenix and everything's, you know, rock and, you know, cactus and stuff like that. Like, we do live in a desert, but, you know, people aren't willing to sacrifice their golf turf in the front yard, you know.
I mean, give us a tax kickback to redo the lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, I put in high-efficiency windows a couple years ago while we were having brownouts and everything, and I got a pretty significant tax kickback for, you know, upping the energy level of my house. I can do the same thing with water.
And ag has had to adjust. Like, they put in trickle systems like almond orchards and whatnot. They used to just have troughs, like literally a ditch next to trees that they let the water run down. And tons of them have adjusted for that, you know, and they're not getting their doled out water allowance. So they're drilling wells, like Brad said earlier.
Yeah, they're going deeper. Yeah, they're going deeper. They're getting water. They're going deeper into the aquifers and pulling more water up.
But it's such an impact. Like, that water's apparently 20,000 years old, you know? It's they're stealing dinosaur water. Like, it's got to have some impact. Someone said, like, every year the ground is dropping a foot in some areas because of them pulling the water out.
It happens. I mean, when you take something out of the earth, what's there? There's a cave, you know, in a sense. And, you know, once, you know, depending on how deep it is, think about how heavy that is.
Yeah,
you know?
Sinkhole,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and it happens all over the place, but... you know, it's one of those things like these, I don't know. I mean, is it pretty much like a cycle of the earth? You know what I mean? We've talked about that before. And, you know, I mean, it's been freezing on the earth before and it's been hot on the earth before. And, you know, are we getting to that point? You know, are we helping it out? Are we moving it along? Are all the cars and, you know, people trying to buy these hybrids and stuff, you know, think that they're actually helping, you know, with what's going on, you know, like. There's no telling, you know.
Probably too little, too late. I mean, I think the problem is that people think on the small scale. You think in, like, your life. All you have to do is think about grandma and grandpa and then their grandma and grandpa, and it's a pretty simple, you know, equation that not that long ago, things were a lot different, and people just don't think long term that, oh, there's thousands of years, there's millions of years. Like, the earth used to be this or that. I mean, it used to be covered in giant lizards, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a trip. It's like something out of a movie. And we just take for granted that we were walking around watching Netflix and eating hamburgers, and as long as we got that, we're fucking happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know our footprint, from what I understand, like I said, I'm not a professor or anything, you know, in this area, but I am in a lot of other areas, but, you know, this area, not so much. But
professor of love. Our,
you know, how long have humans been around? Not that long. In the spectrum of how long the Earth has been here and you know, or that we know of anyway, you know, we've been here a minuscule amount of time. But to think that just we're accelerating this thing, you know, I don't know. I you know, it's one of those things like, is Al Gore right or is Al Gore wrong? You know, is he just paying because that's what he believes, you know, and so he's putting all this money into this research? Or is it some far-fetched?
The thing is, I did a lot of research about climate change last summer, actually. I went to Reykjavik, Iceland, and went to a climate change conference, and I've been looking at it quite a bit, and the general consensus, and I'm not a scientist. I was doing it as a way to study science fiction because I studied the humanities. But from what I've seen, roughly 90% of all the scientists who study the issue, 97% say that climate change is caused by human factors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, that is irrelevant because if we have caused it, we have billions of dollars that we misspend on shit, and we have billions of man hours that we misspend on shit, and we could be fixing problems if we wanted to. If we talk specifically about the California water problem, I mean, it took the Manhattan Project a year to go from having no knowledge of a nuclear bomb to blowing up a nuclear bomb. 1 year, bunch of smart dudes in a room up in the mountains, and in a year they had a nuclear bomb. So everybody that says it's too little too late, well, yeah, it's too little too late for us to do something right now because we don't have any water. But we could spend some of our money, military budget, for example, have military soldiers and military trucks bring fucking water from Maine to California, just a constant convoy. It would be expensive. We'd have water. It would lessen the drought. We could get a room full of smart people, Manhattan-style project, to think of a way that with this many billion dollars, how do we fix the water a year from now? How does it look 5 years from now? But that's not what's going to happen. We're going to get $1 billion that goes to some bullshit public announcement campaign and does nothing to help
that,
our water
and
problem.
Hope that the 20% saves us.
Right,
you know
and
what
then
I mean?
We're going to
10% or 20%.
Right, so I have to water my lawn less, and I have to take bad showers and not brush my teeth properly.
And we're still eating people in a year, because I swear to God, if I'm going to die, I'm eating somebody. Like, it's going to happen. Brent, you look tasty.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, build one less fucking jet, right? Like, how much do those jets cost? Like, $20 million
billions.
Or something. Yeah.
They're,
you really need that many jets? Like,
no, because we're not using our army.
Everything in the fucking world, you know what I mean? Like, build a couple less jets, give out a couple less Halliburton contracts, and fucking cure cancer, cure diabetes, make us have water.
I mean, to give you the scope of how much money we spend in places that could probably wisely be misspent, and I might have this statistic slightly off, and I can look and confirm and update it on the website if I'm wrong.
You will be judged.
But 1 month of the war in Iraq, when we were at the peak war of Iraq, the amount of money we spent for 1 month in the war was enough money to send every single 18-year-old in America on a full-ride, 4-year college education in a major school in this country.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I think, what fucking impact would an entire nation of 18-year-olds now getting a free education, what would that have on our future worth what the fuck did we get out of that 1 month in Iraq?
Yeah, nothing.
Would they have to issue a check, or can people just go Walmart buck wild fucking crazy with that? That's the problem.
I think it would probably be given straight to the
have an economic influx, though.
Sure.
Even if you gave them the money for college and they got to choose, the smart ones would go to school and the other ones would just buy TVs and shit. And so it would still help, ultimately, I guess.
Right.
It would stimulate the economy.
That's true.
Well. Yes, it would help.
If you handed everybody in the United States got 30 grand.
Argued with himself.
And then one other thing that about the water issue, and again, this is where we started the conversation with the delicious beverage that Brad's about to take a drink of.
It'll grow on you.
If you see me on the video, once we have it up, my face is not happy.
We're not sponsored by Arrowhead, by
it's
the
actually
way, obviously.
Actually, this water has a drought. It is actually drying my mouth out. Like, I smoked a bowl of weed before I came in here. And just
there's more flavors in there.
Natural flavors, yes, natural flavoring.
I meant in the refrigerator.
But
here's the thing. So, like I said earlier, Arrowhead is owned by Nestle, and Nestle and a handful of other water companies are in trouble when we're looking specifically at California. There are at least 10 lakes and natural springs in the state of California that Nestle actively bottles from, and they're bottling hundreds of thousands of bottles of water out of California aquifers and California water sources, and then they're shipping them all over the nation so people can buy bottled water.
Yeah, they're taking it from here,
right,
shipping it
places somewhere else.
Instead
and
of
to sell it in Maine where they have fucking groundwater.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing we could do. And again, Nestle isn't being fined by the government. Nestle isn't being stopped by the government. If we have a government who gives a shit about how much water we have going to the people, we need to stop looking at how is the government helping Big Ag, how is the government helping companies like Nestle, and how is the company helping people actually get water into their homes. I mean, the 10 leases that Nestle have, all of them are expired, but they just keep being able to use them.
Yeah.
The government needs to tell them fuck off on all 10 of them, and they can go get their water from a state that isn't in an epic drought, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, go get it from China.
Well, I'm sure there's some campaign contributions, I'm sure, involved in that.
I'm quite sure.
I'm sure. I'm pretty
quite
positive.
Positive
about, yeah.
But
stop
no,
copying me.
Stop copying me.
No, you know the crazy thing about water and groundwater? I mean, the thing is, it's right in front of us. We can do this. Like, we drink water, we piss water. It's gross to everyone, but if we just recycled sewage, no one wants to think about that or do that. But
water companies do that, don't they? Don't they have like they store it in certain
places? Like the sewage stuff, I don't think, at least locally, like we don't. Most places won't accept it. They vote it out every time they try to use recycled sewage. I mean, it's in place. But they did like a funny experiment. Some company made a video and they made a fake brand of water called Porcelain Springs, which is pretty clever, I think. And they bottled it, really professional marketing. Jack Black was actually the celebrity spokesperson for the company. Great. And then they went out in public and they handed them bottles of water and told them, hey, this is a new water company. We want to see what you think. And people drank it. And then they read the label and it said recycled sewage.
Is that ironic that Jack Black had the product in that one movie, The Pooh Be Gone or whatever it was, and now he's making Porcelain Springs water?
That's true. I don't even...
That's kind of... You've never seen that movie? Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but he had that spray. It was The Pooh Be Gone. You spray it on and it disappeared or whatever. And where did the poop go? Nobody knew.
Apparently
they bottled it and fucking sold it to Americans.
Oh, weird. Yeah, it might have been some spinoff or probably someone involved in marketing was like, let's get Jack Black. He had the poopy gone.
That's, I don't know. That's kind of ironic.
Well,
to
the
me.
Thing about it is most people freaked out and got pissed immediately that they just drank recycled sewage water once they read it. Then they got the Porcelain Springs pun and were pretty upset. Some people didn't care, but most people do care. But the funny fact is the water from the recycled sewage is actually cleaner than like Nestle bottled water or Pepsi bottled water, because they just run that shit through some filter that you could, like, it's like a giant version of a Brita filter. There's not really much more going on.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll drink whatever as long as it tastes good, not like this Arrowhead sparkling black cherry. If it tastes different and better and crisp, I'll drink it.
That's Randy water. I mean,
when you're drunk, you piss in your mouth. It happens. Doesn't it? No?
This is Brad's addition to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, it happens. You know, things happen. You're thirsty. You're out there by yourself on the lawn. You can't get up.
So in this scenario, you're intentionally pissing in your mouth to relieve.
You got to piss. Well, there's two things. You have to piss, and you're thirsty. What other options are there?
Okay.
You can't get up.
I didn't know if it was an accident.
It's sterile, I guess.
It's your own piss.
I'm gonna sit this one out.
If you got good functioning kidneys, they'll filter it out again, and you'll be able to collect that. You know, that's what I call water conservation.
Well, I think we should just get over
it. I'm going
to
talk to Jerry Brown, send him a letter. But anyway. So anyway, well, let's move on. Let's go to we were discussing, could we actually grow, like, broccoli and carrots on our skin?
Is this a biohacking segue?
Is that a segue? I mean, I tried. Would it be weird if I was walking around with broccoli on my arms? And if somebody pulled it off, it would hurt?
A better biohacking segue is the fact that it already happens. Like, they modify everything. You know, it's biohacking is just modifying biology, right? So GMOs, genetically modified crops, all that stuff. So it does relate. But I think the biohacking that we were going to discuss was human biohacking. So... and it's just modifying without waiting for FDA to approve. People do crazy things. It's kind of like a merger of, some people say, open source hacking, but with biology. So
putting RFID chips in your skin.
Magnets, RFID chips, all kinds of stuff. But, yeah. I mean, there's some weird subculture of transhumanism, I think it's referred to, and it's a lot of the tattoo piercing culture. And I think that probably comes from the fact that they don't want to go to the doctor and say, hey, put this magnet in me. But the dude at the tattoo parlor is probably thinking that's pretty legit and down to try it.
Right.
And they already have some medical experience and know-how, and it's probably not that different than piercing your belly button or whatever surface piercing. So, but yeah, people are putting neodymium magnets in their finger, and apparently they can feel magnetic fields and like high voltage.
Are you moving cups and stuff though? Like, it's
more like a paper clip. It's not that cool.
That seems like a lot of work, and I don't even think it'd really hurt that bad. But I mean, just to move a magnet, are you that bored that you're going to sit in your house and let me bring this magnet to me?
It's not that they want to
really. You can't act like you have the force at that point.
I know, yeah. Like, well, who watches Star Wars anyway? I mean, don't get me going on that either. You guys are just ridiculous. Why did we start this thing?
I think it's more about like a lot of the people from my experience that I've watched on documentaries and videos and whatnot are a little different to the outside subset culture. You know, they're like the tattoo thing would be, or the piercing thing, where they want to be different, and maybe, you know, they're maybe a little dorky. Like, I'm not computer tech
the
over
fuck
here.
Are you trying to say over here?
I mean, everybody's got their thing. It's just they want a sixth sense. I mean, how many people in the world have a magnet embedded in their finger, right? It sets them aside. They have the weakest superpower possible. incapable moving a paperclip.
Right.
But
look at me, I'm an idiot.
I have to say, there's some allure to it. Like, it's kind of cool to think that if you're walking down the street and there's high voltage power lines under the road,
you can kill yourself.
No, you feel it. Like, you know that it exists. You know, it's like, oh, that's weird. My pinky tingled when I walked past the transformer. That's nerdy and whatever, but there's something kind of cool.
Well, I think that'd be cool for blind people, like, so that they know not to walk into a power line, like if it was hanging low or something.
Speaking of blind people, Dave, there's that biohacker guy that like wired his own webcam into his head or something, or yes. Colorblind.
There's a bunch. I've got.
Oh,
several.
He was colorblind and he had that mm-hmm. penis looking object that come yes. out in front of his face.
His name is, I'm trying to find it here. I've got it on the sheet. Neil Harbison, and he developed a thing called the iBorg. And Neil Harbison was born colorblind, so he obviously couldn't see colors. But he built this
solid
device.
Definition.
He had
Captain Obvious.
He had a chip embedded in his skull, the actual bone of the skull, that connects to this camera, and the camera receives audio input and then translates it into sound that he doesn't actually even hear. He feels the chip vibrate in his bone.
So it says red.
Yes.
Like.
That's
and then
exactly
a different
right.
frequency.
So if the camera
like
is looking
blue.
at your shirt, the words Henny will bzzzt gold and let him know that that is the color gold on the color black.
So he just knows the vibration frequency.
Yeah, well, your brain like adopts things. It's really weird. Like, you know, my wife had brain surgery, and because she was so young, her brain fixed itself, right? So, like, you know, she was early 20s, and they cut her head open, took a huge portion of her brain. Like, the mass was the size of a flattened orange was the comparison. And when she woke up, she was paralyzed on one side, right? She can't move her right arm, can't move her right leg, facial paralysis. But over time, even though that portion of the brain was damaged, the other portions of the brain
take over.
So on that, yeah, that vibration may come through, but all of a sudden your brain decides like, hey, that's what happens when I see black. That's what happens when I see gold.
Oh, that's true.
So it becomes second nature and it just adopts it and you get that sense. It's probably not the same as when you or I see black or gold, which is always brings up the question, like, is blue blue to you or blue to me? I always wonder that.
Yeah, but it's always the same. If you say that's blue,
right.
everybody
it's
knows
constant.
It's blue. Like,
yeah,
yeah it's
you,
a constant
because,
thing.
Yeah, but you might see red where I see blue, but you call that blue and I call it red or whatever, but because it still looks the same every time, just for 5 seconds,
yeah.
you know, we could see through each other's eyes. It's a trip.
Like, yeah, you don't know.
Maybe it's the same, yeah.
Yeah.
So Neil Harbison did this, and part of it was an interesting legal battle because he traveled a lot. He's from the UK, and he would travel to Europe all the time, and he was constantly being stopped because he had a giant penis camera sticking out of the skull in his head, and it was
is it even phallic? Is it really? Is this just Brad spinoff? Or does
it looks like a skinny dick.
It's like it's tubular. It's a looped, sagging.
Sounds like
tubular
a
tubular thing.
Like somebody's
gonzo.
Well, like it's like he has a dangling carrot in front of his face.
I wouldn't have gone with the penis if I were describing it, but now that the penis is on the table, I'm not taking
it. You couldn't do some cool, like, Universal Soldier Borg? It has to come. It's up and over his head.
It's like up and over his head. I'm sure, like, version 2.0 might be a little sexier.
Yeah, that seems like you could have some glasses that would have just plugged
two.
In by your ear.
Version
you know, like,
2 is going to be more girthy.
I think like maybe it wouldn't have given him the range. Or
doubt it. Whatever
maybe,
this sensor is. Like, yeah, it seems like you could have had a pair of glasses or something that would just plug in and fit nicely over your ear. I don't know.
Google thought they could have a pair of glasses as a computer, too, and that didn't work out.
This is true. That did not work out.
They did not. But Sony picked up the idea because they're thieves. So
well, good for them.
We'll
good
see
for
who
them,
wins.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
they'll conserve water with
Sony's
it.
Sony's lost before.
The but he ended up getting it so that it is legally part of his body and it's actually on his passport. So when he travels, the passport has documentation that says this is officially part of his body, and he's the first officially recognized cyborg in the British government because the artificial piece is technically legally part of his body. Even if you had a prosthetic leg, that prosthetic leg is not part of your body, and technically TSA
is embedded.
Come. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure
even if it
floats
embedded,
right through
I mean,
the line,
could,
that TSA doesn't
yeah.
do anything to him. Yeah. He doesn't get strip searched in the room for.
But
an
let
hour.
Me. I've got some other biohackers.
Here's the picture. I know you didn't want to do pictures on the.
Yeah, I would have said scorpion,
but
probably not phallic. But
I don't know. It's got a head on it. I mean,
we'll post the link
officially by definition. Brad, everything in the world with a head now penis.
You that, can find
yeah. So got, Brent, you're penis. Looking very penis yeah. looking today.
His name is Neil Harbison. There, he has a TED Talk where he discusses a lot of this stuff, so you can easily find him. But let me mention some other biohackers, and I'll explain what they've done because I'm curious to get a consensus in the room of whether or not we would do this.
Okay.
And I'm not talking like, would we do this 10 years
like
from
now? Like, if you're
going
to go tranny with like a bionicle, this, bionicle.
Like, I don't mean like know. Once this is professionally rendered, like, would you head. Do this in the future? I mean, right fucking now in your garage.
We could do it right would here.
You, we could do it right here. Studios. Exactly. In the Fight Club studios. We have, right. we have, I don't think biohackers realize how much
you,
we have.
You
in
know,
this
you know what I
biohack.
Want? I want, you know how they have those punching bags that when you hit them, it tells you how many pounds per square inch you've hit. Mm-hmm. I want that in my arm. With like a digital readout.
Gauge.
See? Yeah, so I can punch people.
You're
like,
already
boom, 200 pounds, 1,000 pounds.
All you need is some
dude,
springs.
I'm there.
If you punch hard enough, you don't need that gauge, Brad.
No, you do. You do. Because I mean then you get a visual representation of why they're seizuring on the ground.
Let's just build a glove. Does it have to be in your skin? That's what I don't get about the biohacking.
Nintendo built a glove. That didn't work out either.
OJ had a glove.
OJ had a glove, and that definitely
that worked out.
It didn't fit him.
Did, yeah.
So
okay, so our first biohacker, a guy named Rob Spence. I don't believe, and I would have to double check. I don't believe he had any visual problems, but he replaced one of his eyes with a camera, so his eye is now a. Maybe he was blind in that eye.
I'm
going to
say no.
I'm saying
no.
But, you know,
he's a filmmaker and he films documentaries
through his
eye. Through his eyes. And he films on a daily basis. He's filming his exact point of view all the time as a filmmaker.
You know what they made
for
that?
It looks kind of funky, but it's in his eyeball.
GoPros. Yeah. So, if you want to sponsor us, GoPro, we're here. Check it out.
So biohack with a camera eye, yes or no? Brent?
Hell no.
Currently no, but like slight, just not off topic, but I want to say that there is going to be a point, and it's coming quickly, that the moment that you can see in infrared or some electromagnetic view or you can see in the dark, which that's a biohacking topic.
X-ray vision.
But yeah, at the point that you have Jordy LaForge goggles, Brad doesn't know what that means. But
you.
That you can see better than the average person, people will start taking their eyeballs out and upgrading their eyes. That's
what's
going to happen.
I mean, if you were like, my cousin was legally blind. He was actually like, I mean, he could see things, but I mean, he was legally blind and could not see anything. And well, that was just, he could see things, but he
couldn't
see
shrimp.
Anything. Yeah, jumbo shrimp, baby. but no, he actually went to China. And now he can see. He had the surgery done in China. I don't know if they replaced his eyeballs with somebody else. Like he has some China eyes.
I don't think they did that. I mean, it wasn't just some kind of like
he was full
clarity.
On,
like no, they didn't have
to full on surgery, and he can see perfect now. Hmm. And it's
it
pretty,
must have been like a cataract type thing where it was like a
well, no, he had tumors when he was young, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if he wants me talking about this, but he had tumors when he was young, and it made him eventually go blind.
Maybe it was like ocular pressure or something. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, and so he went over there. But if I was at that point and I couldn't, you know, visually see anything, it's the same thing with laser surgery. You know, my girlfriend had that. And
right.
I mean, talking about that they suck your eyeball up mm-hmm. and they cut your lens, you know, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And I cringe
scary.
At that. Like, because that's your vision.
Yes.
Like, this is what we see with. It's one thing if you can't talk. But I would be definitely afraid of not being able to see.
If you only have something to gain, yeah, you're already blind,
so like,
obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if my eyeball was gone already, you know, and
right.
and you know somebody stabbed me with a nail in my eye, and you know I've grew up like that, then yeah, let's do it. Let's put a camera in there, and I'll record everything I see.
So
which probably would not want to see the videos of these things.
Yeah, maybe not. So I'm getting from both of you that so Brad, you said if you were already blind, you would definitely do it.
Yeah,
but not if you weren't.
No, like right now, my vision, no.
I think it would have to be a substantial
you would need an upgrade.
Chance of improvement.
Yeah,
yeah
upgrade.
Crazy upgrade. And okay. it didn't
X-ray,
look funky.
X-ray
like
vision.
I didn't become, a movie character. Like,
or even if it, like you could see like one eye, it looks like the airport scanners, you know? Where you could just be like,
I'm looking through the clothes.
Creeper.
Okay. You wouldn't even know.
Another biohacker named Brian McAvoy.
Is he a tennis player?
He is not. He might be. I don't know.
Sounds like a tennis player.
He has... a subdermal compass installed so he can always tell what direction is north. He can just feel it in his body. He feels the magnetic waves of the earth, and based on which way he's oriented, he can tell which direction is north, south, east, or west.
That just sounds stupid because the sun rises and sets. All right.
Let me take this one because I can't fucking get to 7-Eleven. Plagued by life. I might be smart. I can build you a fucking treehouse. I can fix your computer. I can take some shit apart. I can tell you a lot of things, but I fucking get lost in the doctor's office in 13 seconds once I enter the room and have to embarrassingly and awkward with slight anxiety pretend like I got mixed up and it doesn't usually happen. And can you please point me in the right direction? Can I get out of here? I already know about this biohack because I fucking considered it and I'm crafty enough that I might be able to build myself a sense of direction. Like literally thought about it.
Oh, there's no doubt. I promise you the stuff this guy did, you have the technical know-how.
I watched the thing. Yeah. They use a rose compass. Like actually, no, it's like a rose compass and it basically actuates like a little vibration sensor that you would use like a cell phone to buzz and it buzzes in orientation so that you know when you're facing north or south. I know you're saying the
and
sun.
And you're looking at the color blue.
There's no sun in the doctor's office. And sometimes there is no sun. If it's nighttime, you don't understand because it's like, try to look out your ear for a fucking second, right? Because that's what it's like for me to know directions. I got no clue.
I guess some people just have a sense. Like, I don't know. Like, if I'm sitting in this building and I know which way north is, like, and we're underground.
Yeah, it's a condition.
You are a dwarf. You're a dwarf.
Maybe.
From Dungeons & Dragons.
But no.
That's an innate ability. Jesus a dwarf Christ. From Dungeons & Dragons has a percent chance to detect inclines and compass direction.
Dave crawled all the way outside of my dork box just now.
I just wanted to keep it real. We are underground, and you're talking about knowing what direction north is.
And so that made you have to mention Dungeons & Dragons.
You are very dwarf-like. You just don't have a beard.
Son of a bitch.
So literally, I probably am going to try to build that thing. I'll totally do that.
That'd be cool.
Plus, I'm not cutting myself.
I'm filming it, but...
I can wear it on my ankle or some shit where no one knows.
We're filming it, and you have to do it naked. But anyway,
that's not the direction I want to go.
And it just sounds stupid to me. Like maybe for you it works out, but for me, like I'm just like
Brad. Do wheelchairs sound stupid to you?
Yeah, walk, motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
Of me leans towards a yes on this one, just because. From what I've seen, it's a very non-invasive thing.
Exactly.
It's a very small, quick insert into your body.
It's like that house arrest bracelet that Brad had.
That's what she said to you, Dave.
I'm a paranoid enough prepper to think that would be pretty handy.
Well, plus I've heard
I don't know. Why couldn't you just carry around a compass? I mean, that's a simple thing.
Because when I get in a fight with...
Put it on your fucking neck.
When I get in a fight
with safari hat.
Cuban Russians who have invaded my home football team.
Red Dawn.
Knocked the compass out of my hands. And I'm stuck in the mountains with Patrick Swayze. I don't have a compass anymore.
I mean, this is the guy that carries around a Ghost, though.
Right.
this is Brent, you know, he doesn't, you know, set his iPhone... Or, no, I'm sorry, you have a Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
The Samkung. He doesn't set
Dave
it down. Has a fucking compass in it. But doesn't use it. So because he doesn't use the compass in his phone, he wants to put one in his skin.
I don't want to put it in my skin. It's under the derma. No, it goes on your ankle. It just buzzes. You don't have to put it. I'm building this thing. I'm going to build it so I don't have to put it in my skin.
So it's like a home arrest bracelet.
I said that. Yeah, that's what I said. It was like your old house arrest bracelet. Around. It's under my pants. No one will know.
Sex offender list.
I'll build shoes.
Directionless
pants. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Mine's in my pants and a lot of people know.
Dave
with the ski mask over his mic.
Yes, yeah, I
nobody
do.
Nobody noticed that.
No, yeah, they can't see it in the dark.
I like it, though. Kevin Warwick is probably the most famous biohacker. He's a professor at a university called Reading in the UK. And some time ago now, he, in his lab, and you can watch some really great, his last name is spelled Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K, but it's pronounced Warwick.
Like Willow.
Yes, like Willow. You can find some awesome YouTube clips of him rambling about things that he's doing. And if you ever want to see a true life mad scientist, watch one of his videos because he's a crazy person. But he built a computer that he put in his arm.
I'm almost there.
He went to New York and patched the computer into the internet and used it. It fed from the neural signal that was telling it intercepted the neural signal telling his arm to move. And then it took that signal and then sent it to Wi-Fi. And a robotic hand in his office in the UK over the internet moved because it was picking up his wireless thoughts. And additionally, he had his wife insert the same exact thing in her arm. And wirelessly, when he would want to move his hand, she would feel the urge to move her hand because he was sending it to her.
It was pulsating.
So thoughts on that?
I don't know. It just sounds, I mean, it sounds goofy to me. Like there's a controller. Like, why do you need it in your hand? What's the uses for it besides controlling your wife's hand to touch her vagina?
It's baby steps. That's what you don't think about. You got to think about in relationships. No, I understand the first that. Of something. The mic you're talking into, but I mean, someone made that. And you're like, what do you need that for?
All fairness, just talk to you. In all fairness, Kevin Warwick wasn't trying to do it because he wanted a life hack that he kept in his body. He was doing it as an experiment as a professor of robotics. And as soon as it was done, he took it out of his body. But
it just seems like a long ways. Like, I mean, you're going to control something like that's cool. Like, I mean, that seems like it would be crazy to do. Like, and I can't even fathom doing that to myself because I don't understand it enough.
Yeah, it was a 15-hour surgery and it took like a team of surgeons and he risked like amputation and like loss of use of his arm because it's like the main nerve if they fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so would you try it? No, like I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't have any uses for it. Like the things that I would do, like biohacking, I don't even know. Like I looked at a lot of stuff and there's nothing seemed too interesting to me. Like even the RFID chips, you know, in the hand to open doors and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't see a use for them. And maybe that's just me in my life. You know, I mean,
I just don't understand why you can't just have like a Lance Armstrong rubber bracelet with an RFID and an NFC chip in it. Why does it have to go on your skin? Like,
It's not cool enough.
You want it to be with you? Subculture. Yeah, I think it's the subculture, transhumanism, cyborg.
I think so, too. And the specific things that they're both talking about is there's a couple of people who have put RFID chips, radio frequency chips, under their fingernails, and the goal of which is when they get to their computer will read that chip, and it will automatically type in the password. When they get to the car will automatically unlock the door. When they get to the house, the door will automatically unlock, so they never need a password.
Yeah, and we're just getting into a society that's inherently lazy.
Like, I get it.
I don't want to have to get my keys out. I don't want to have to, you know, get up and do this. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do that. And it's lazy to me. Like, I mean, just open the door.
I mean, I don't think it's like I have fucking janitor keys. Like, if we think about it, like, keys are crazy ass castle style archaic technology. It's a chunk of metal that gets shaved into a fucking shape. It's kind of weird given the rest of the level of technology. However, I think it doesn't have to be in your finger. It just seems crazy. Like, just have a bracelet, literally a bracelet,
or a car key,
or a ring,
or you have one key, you know, that syncs up to the rest of your house.
Right. And you
one
can program
key
it
to rule them all.
Jesus Christ.
Today we're in the dungeon, and there's a small beast in the corner. What are you going to do, Dave? I attack it with my longbow. I attack the darkness.
Brent just pulled out. Just pulled out. He always does.
Okay, let me give you one final biohacker and what he did. He was starting to go blind, so he hooked a bunch of wires in his head that connected to some glasses so that it started to replace his vision. But in addition, so he started off, a condition was making him go blind, so that might change the setup.
Yeah. So you're going blind.
You can do this biohack, which he pretty much had done himself because no doctor is going to sign off on it, that allows him to see through a camera. But he can also see Wi-Fi and electromagnetic frequencies, which normal humans cannot see. Mm-hmm. And he is on the verge of adding a component to it that will let him echolocate like a bat and send out a ping, and he'll be able to see physical structures around him because of these glasses while it's still largely retaining his vision.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If I was going blind, why not? Like, that's actually a pretty
cool
thing.
Yeah, that's the previous point for sure. Yeah. But I think, like, if I can say, can I compromise to a pair of glasses? Like, so little screens that I can see through and gain those abilities. The Jordy LaForge headset.
Yeah, he didn't put the camera in his eye. Like, take out an eyeball.
But he did that by himself.
Well, no, he's got wires and things connecting into parts of his brain because that's where the signal
is. But if
is
a doctor didn't
go
do that,
yeah,
who
did it?
That? He did that?
He did it.
He said a doctor didn't do it?
It was listed as a self-biohack.
Self-biohack.
So I don't think he did it himself, but perhaps another biohacker who did other stuff did it for him.
That just seems kind of sketchy, though. Ooh, like,
yeah.
Hey, dude, sepsis, you want to come over and fucking put shit in my head?
It must be some surface, like, mount EEG-style nerve that is located, like, your ear. I know saw one.
Using sensors or something.
Some guy used, like, a nerve that's in your mouth, like your tooth nerve or something, and it ultimately, all the nerves go to your brain, apparently.
Does
so,
he wear, like, a hat that looks like a predator, like, with all the things coming off of it?
No, he doesn't, but he does have one other thing that he's working on that I think you'll both be interested in.
What's that?
His name is Rick Lee, same guy, echolocation, going blind, build the glasses. He also has built, even though he can't get the prototypes to work quite yet, a biohack insert for the tip of his penis that vibrates.
That's already been done. I just haven't published it yet because this fucker is going to steal my work and it all goes down the tubes after
He's working on it. He said that he just can't get the battery life to be good enough. And
that's just like the step up his personal game. Like, it's for him for her or for who?
Yeah, is it like a condom? It's, you know, ribbed for her pleasure?
The article didn't say. It just said that it vibrates. It's a device.
He just has a short. He just has a shortcut on his keyboard. So
how the hell?
He just knock it out like hands free. The hands free device.
Don't they have that like in the sex industry already? Is this guy just can't see porn, so he doesn't know it exists or something like that? It's a sleeve that goes over your penis. Like if they make extension sleeves for men, that you showed me yours, Dave.
I was gonna say, do they, Brad? Now
that you know. It extends your penis. Like, why wouldn't they make one that sleeves over and vibrates too? It's like a reverse dildo.
But then you're shackled to the tyranny of your penis sleeve. This way.
Hold on. You said you think that we'll both be interested.
This way,
Brent's just pissed
you're
right
free.
Now.
I'm just
you're free to have a vibrating penis without anyone else having to be
involved. Have you noticed through this podcast that anytime you mention penis, Brent just cringes and he's very uncomfortable.
I'm just trying to be educational and informative, but I'm along for the ride. I'm in the car and we're on a road trip and I can't get out, so I'm going to sit in the back seat sometimes. We stop at Jack in the Box to talk, but
penis. Ooh.
Okay, so I have one other person biohack to discuss, and it's a group of people in Tehachapi recently.
Nearby.
Nearby where we are. And they did a biohack where they were able to add fish goo into their eyeballs with an injector that gave them night vision.
Is it fish goo? I thought it was like a algae or a vitamin or
something.
It
was something from the ocean.
Let me look.
And they put. See, this is my thing, though. Like, I'm not sticking fucking needles in my eye.
I think they just put it in, like, eye drops.
I don't know.
They theorized they could enhance healthy eyesight enough that it would induce night vision. To do this, the group used a kind of chlorophyll analog called chlorine E6, which is found in some deep-sea fish and is used as an occasional method to treat night blindness. Going off that research, we thought this would be something to move ahead with, the lab's medical officer said. There's a fair amount of papers talking about having it injected in models like rats, and it's been intravenous since the 1960s as a treatment for different cancers. After doing the research, you have to take the next step. So what they did, how it happened, I'm not making this up. I'm reading it from the article.
Kidnapped a young child.
With what is basically a really fine turkey baster, Tibbetts slowly dripped 50 microliters of the CEC, an extremely low dose, into Lucina's spectrally stretched eyes, aiming for the conjunctival sac.
Okay, and I seen the pictures. His eyes black. Like right. They turn black. What is that? Because your pupil gets so big that it's... Or is it discolor that way?
I don't know about the discolorization, but at the end, in the dark outside, typical dark night, they would see shape 10 meters away, maybe the size of a hand, whereas a normal person couldn't see it. At 50 meters, they could see things, and they had 100% success rate, and they had a control group that were dosed with things that was not that to see if they acted any differently, and they went out there and had the exact same night vision anyone else. So people in their garage in Tehachapi took a turkey baster, stuck fish goop in their eyes, and had temporary night vision.
I mean... You first, you know, like I'm down probably for something if we like
for
it's
sure.
been used. There was a history of it. There was medical research that it's been done intravenously. It's been in the body and didn't kill anyone. But yeah, it's not long term. It went away, but not me first. But that sounds like kind of almost a cool thing.
I would do it. I think if there was actually a company that produced it,
like eye drops.
Like because I think like mixing it up in your garage, like. You know,
that's
like,
a little scary.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff like that. You can mix it up in your house and like, are you going to use it? Probably not.
Turkey
like,
baster in my garage, my sight. Yeah, that's like,
yeah, I think anything, I think anything,
three words
messing with your vision,
I'm
out on. Like, I'm just like, nah, like, I don't need to see in the dark that bad. Again, can't we use some goggles?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a simple thing.
It would also be a matter of price. I mean, if they could get this chemical relatively cheaply and you don't have to go out and buy a crazy ass expensive.
Yes, he could ruin your vision for $8.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I could see I could see this having more potential than most of these biohacks.
Yeah.
If you could get that commercially sold and these drops are going to enhance your night vision for 4 hours or 6 hours. I personally have bad night vision when I'm driving. I got a lot of haloing and lights pop really bright when I drive.
Throw in some Visine night vision.
Right. Throw in some of this. It improves my night vision. I'm good to go. Or if I'm like, you know, upset at a neighbor and want to toilet paper his house.
I can see perfectly.
Throw in a couple of drops. Yep,
I don't miss that shit.
Right. My right toilet paper balcony. Is accurate.
Yep. Accurate, son. Oh, that was fucking, I hate that. Why did I
you
do
said
that?
Son. Oh, that is your pet peeve on tape.
Holy shit.
I just did my fucking.
We're going to redo the podcast. We're going to redo
okay, stop. Redo.
Hold on. We're going to start over.
Redo.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not too big into the biohacking thing. I think that it's kind of ridiculous. I think it's too small. I was reading about the dude, the doctor, and I forget his name. I probably should have had things on it. I wasn't planning to talk about it. I just saw it yesterday. He's going to do a head transplant.
I just saw that today.
So in 2 years, they're going to plan to do a head transplant like that. That's
36-hour surgery with 100 surgeons or
like
something.
Like that interests me more than putting a chip in my skin. Like anybody can do that. Like, get real.
That poor guy has some kind of muscular degenerative.
Yeah, he's going to die. Yeah, he's going to die. Like, so. And that enhances the situation a little bit, you know, to try
such
it.
That's so scary, though. Think of literally it doesn't work, which it's probably not going to work, right? I mean, he's going to lay there and you have no movement or you can't breathe or I don't know.
And his body's going to reject the head probably.
Yes. No, yeah, I read they're giving him anti-rejectory drugs for every organ. Cause it's if you get a liver transplant or a kidney transplant, you have to take those. I would imagine if your entire body.
Yeah. They were saying that the dosage of anti-rejection medication could possibly kill him. That's how much they're going to have to take. So I don't know. That's over my head. And that's some crazy that you talk about a mad scientist. Let's cut off this guy's head.
I think
put it onto another body.
The thing
whose body does it get?
We're not mentioning is biohacking's not just crazy tattoo artists in their garage with magnets and scalpels.
No, doctors are doing it too.
Yeah, no, that's a form of biohacking for sure. Like cochlear implants. Kids are deaf. They're getting that. That's active. You know, any type of medication.
Here's a very professional biohack, and this is probably my favorite biohack of all time. A group of scientists took goats, and they genetically modified the goats. So that instead of milk, they would excrete a protein that was basically a spider's silk. So they somehow hacked the gene. Wait, just wait. We're not even halfway done with the awesomeness of this tale. So they take the goat, they hack their gene so that instead of milk, they're producing the protein that comes from certain spider silk. They take that spider silk, goat milk, which could never go wrong, right? That's never going to lead to
still comes out fluid.
That's never going to lead to
some creepy
it's
nightmare
Spider-Man.
Yeah, of spider
gonna get,
goat.
Yeah, you're going to get goat ranchula, you know.
Goat ranchula.
Chupacabra. Goat sucker. You really made a chupacabra.
So we've made our chupacabra goat that spins out milk proteins. They take the milk proteins and they merge them on a cellular level with human skin.
So they're grafting with goat.
So they're grafting
milk.
A human skin with goat milk, spider silk. And the end result is you end up with human skin that is bulletproof perfectly to a .22 caliber. First wave done, .22 caliber bulletproof human skin by merging the human skin with goat spider milk.
Point blank or distance?
I think it was sort of mid-range 22.
Is this on a person or they had a stretched out drum looking?
They probably had a stretched out drum.
That's crazy. That actually sounds pretty sweet. So that's that's his body
and
armor.
This isn't a dude in a garage, obviously.
Yeah,
this
so
is
they
a
hacked.
Big time.
They hacked the goats, yes. Obviously,
but
yeah.
It's,
to make
it's your skin
sweet.
Accepts it.
Yes.
Well, so theoretically they could probably. Well, we don't milk. I wonder if they could change our genes to piss. Spider silk, and we can make our own at home. We can knit it.
I'm pretty sure you could just go get a carton of spider goat milk or something. That would be easier than pissing
or sheets of it, fiberglass or something.
But it's funded by a DARPA grant because they're trying to get it to be something they would add to soldiers, and then you would have.
Oh, that'll for sure be banned.
They would have.
Obama's not letting us get into that.
Bulletproof goat silk milk skin.
That'd be
awesome. You love that. You love that hack, though.
I love that hack.
He's a prepper.
Not conflicted, though. Is that nice to do to a goat, Dave?
It's awful to do to a goat.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. But the hack's awesome. Your favorite hack, yeah. But the hack is
awesome. Yeah, that's true. No, yeah, I mean, you don't want to eat honey
goats,
from bees.
It's animal experimentation. I mean, I'm very anti all of that. But
right.
The end result of that. I mean, the whole concept of the hack is so mind-blowing and ridiculous, and it really resets a lot of switches in my brain of what's possible right now. So you're actually able to get the goats to make spider silk, and you're actually able to get that milk silk.
He's
going to
be eating hamburgers in a month.
Yep.
This guy.
We're going to get him.
It's hamburgers. It's a troubling.
Did you know that when they cut a cow open, it makes steaks?
Wow. Dave thought he was going to make it through this one.
No, I didn't.
So, I don't know. But anyway, do you have any, we were going to talk about apps. Did that happen? Did you have an awesome app you used besides your countdown timer?
My countdown timer?
Nobody had any, because I don't. I have
Meerkat.
Oh, Meerkat.
Which might work out.
I don't know. I'm torn on that app because Meerkat is a live platform, which you guys did not want to do yet. But
explain what Meerkat is.
Meerkat is a kind of a video blog platform that's live. So you can actually, you know, I guess they're kind of doing podcasts on it, but it seems to me like people are just sitting on there mentioning people who are commenting on their video, and they're just sitting there rambling.
So a lot of it's more of a live.
It's a live feed. It's a live feed, camcast, yeah, type feed, and you can watch people. And I know like MTV and other Jimmy Fallon's on there. There's a lot of people, and I don't know if they're really using it or how extensive it is. But one of Brent's buddies mentioned it to us, and we were looking at it. It looks pretty cool, and you can comment on there and you know show the stuff. But I don't know. Like that's one thing I was looking at. Other apps though, as far as you know. Something you use on a daily basis. I really don't have any, so.
I have an app that I use on a daily basis and that I recommend to people, even though most people will never use it because I don't think that they need it. I'm an insomniac and I never get any sleep. I'll always wake up in the middle of the night, my mind's going a million miles an hour and I can't fall asleep. And there's an app called Relax Melodies.
Sounds stupid.
It does sound stupid. It's a horrible name.
And trying to be nice. I'm gonna listen.
No, it's a horrible name. I hate the name. But there's a free version and there's a pro version. But when you open it up, there's basically it basically becomes like a white noise generator. Like a lot of people will buy a thing.
Why is it gotta be white?
I know. It plays like ocean. Like a friend of mine has a radio that just plays ocean sounds.
Yeah.
And like you put it on and it helps you fall asleep. But this thing is like crazy customizable. So it's like if you like ocean sounds, there's like 12 of them, and you can change the audio levels of all the different ocean sounds. And oh, I want more seagulls or less seagulls. And like, I know it sounds really strange, but I cannot sleep. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, what's normally an hour of me struggling to go back to sleep, when I put my earbuds in and I listen to this thing, I can usually fall back asleep in 10 minutes.
So it's called what? Relax Melodies?
It's called Relax Melodies. Because I've got like this specific mix that works for my brain. It's like this, there's like traffic going on in the background. There's a different couple of types of rain. There's like all these certain sounds that happen. And when I listen to that thing, it puts me to sleep.
I think technically that's a biohack. Like that is like you're changing like theta waves or alpha waves. Something's
you can do
happening.
That. That's part of it. There's one of the, aside from the sounds, you can pick frequencies of theta waves and beta waves and all these things and just have the theta waves by themselves playing.
You should have opened with that instead of like Rockabye Baby.
They do that. They have all the, it's got the different wavelengths. Let me see here.
You could have snuck in the seagull track or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it like, does it have like Brooklyn?
It's hey, cocksucker, yeah, motherfucker. Yeah, but no, it's got various different hey, frequencies. So you can drop that really quietly in the background.
Those
on top
icons?
Of whatever mix that you have. And then it's going to put that specific frequency of sound.
Nobody can see it, but it has like quite childish
dangling
stars.
Does that have, can you do your ABCs on it too?
You cannot. But it is
that
awesome.
That app's worthless to me.
It is awesome. It
I'm afraid to try
sleep.
It because I might like it. If I like it, I'm just not telling anyone I use it.
I use it every, like, I literally, there is not an app on my phone. I have my old crappy Android that I replaced this thing with permanently plugged in on my nightstand with earbuds plugged into it because every single night I listen to that because I can't sleep otherwise.
I guess that's better than taking Ambien, driving to 7-Eleven to buy ice cream in your underwear.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
No, that is not better than driving to 7-Eleven in your underwear.
That's my app of the week. If you're an insomniac, check out that particular app because it might help you to get some sleep.
One of my grandmas actually drove to 7-Eleven in her underwear and bought ice cream. on
which
Angie.
One?
I'm not going to name any names. She knows who she is. If you're out there,
she knows.
Probably not in our demographic, but.
I just meant which 7-Eleven.
Because I want to wait for her. Because if she did it once, she's definitely doing it again.
She actually moved out of state, so she won't be making an appearance at the 7-Eleven on DeVore.
You're teasing me.
Off Manor or whatever that is right there.
I want to see her.
Day Street. That's it, yeah. So some of you local people know where that's at.
And Brent, this might seem like a change of topic, but I'm sitting here and I'm admiring your manly beard.
Couldn't get away from it. I know. It's for those watching, it's not that manly. It's slightly sad, but I'll take any compliments I can get because they're far and few between. But the reason it looks so great is our friend from Red Ridge Beard Co. Sent us some samples, and next week we're going to have some swag to give away. But it's actually a beard oil company. So he was nice enough to sponsor us for the podcast. We're going to have some stickers and some beard oil that we're going to give away. I'm wearing it. It's fragrant. Brad got a little closer than he normally does earlier, and I attribute it to the possible attraction of that.
Instant hard on.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And you still have something in your beard.
This is the first day. Damn.
And no, it does actually look a little more together and, you know,
I need
not
that.
As erratic as it used to be.
I need that. We got to fill in the gaps because they're there.
There's not much that's ever going to help my beard, but I'm eager to try the samples.
Yeah. Can Dave put it on his hair? That's what I want to know.
I don't know if it's ethnic. I don't know if it works. Yeah, we'll have to find out.
But I did.
Did they make an ethnic version?
Yeah.
I did contact them, and I just so you listeners know, and you'll hear this again in the future, I am the one vegan at the table, and I did reach out to him and ask him what it was made out of, because a lot of times things like that are made out of emu oil, and he said that it is a vegan product. It uses jojoba oil, almond oil, various oils, none of which come from animals.
So for those of you vegans, you can use it. You have to put goat cum on your face.
You could use it or... You couldn't put goat cum on your face if you were a vegan because it would come from an animal.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you don't have to now.
But you couldn't if you were a vegan.
I know. Oh.
Unless you didn't know, but good job for the research. I didn't know you contacted him. But yeah,
that's actually really nice of you.
Yeah,
so you guys can check him out. Red Ridge Beard Co. on Facebook. Go like it. Cool guy, great guy. Used to live in Bakersfield, moved away. So you can check his stuff out, support him. He's supporting us, and we love him.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook, at Sofa King Podcast. You know, pretty much everywhere. Twitter, like us on Twitter or follow us. Like us on Facebook. You know,
Instagram.
even if you don't like one of us or all of us, you know, at least do the like and support us.
Yeah, definitely like one of those because in some way, which we haven't created yet, we're going to give out that swag next week. We got some Baco Skate Co. goodies, bumper stickers, and T-shirts. So we're trying to get some more donations. I think we got Sofa King Podcast coffee cup, some coffee cups and stuff. So we'll send those out, but you got to follow us on the social networking to find out how you're going to get that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And obviously www.com.
.com, huh?
Yeah, that's where
it's a short. It's a short website.
That's the shortest, the best one I could get.
I dare you to navigate there. I want to know what's there right now. Just dot.
It's gonna. Yeah, that's our website.
Black helicopter.
www.com. Visit us online. No, it's sofakingpodcast.com, and visit us there.
Go to Sofa King on Facebook and send us some messages. Ask us some user questions, and that will make you eligible to win some of the swag that we are talking about. So. If you've listened this far, give us a shout out and we will enter you into a list to potentially get some swag.
That's awesome. Yep. Are we done? Or are we going to talk about cops shooting people? Because I want to shoot people.
I think you should save cops shooting people next time. That's probably an entire
thing. I don't want to.
It's not going to be in the media next time. You guys suck.
I'm pretty
talk
sure that's
going to
be in the media
cops.
Next time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Sure.
There's no cops even shooting people. It's like Sandy Hook.
I'm pretty sure by next week
didn't happen.
A cop will have shot somebody.
I don't think so. You guys suck.
I'm pretty sure in 1 hour someone shot somebody.
Well, this is Sofa King Podcast signing off.